Well, good morning. Here we are once again gathering in our individual places, but with one heart coming together to worship the living God. As we prepare our hearts to worship this morning, hear these words from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have come this morning to bless you with all that is within us, to bless your holy name. We have come this morning to remember you, O God, in all of your grace and all of your goodness to us. We have come this morning, O God, to receive the gift of forgiveness of our sins. We've come to look to you to renew our weary hearts. We have come so you might breathe your life into us. You, O God, are good and you are faithful. Father, in the places this morning where our hearts are sad and grieving, would you be our comfort? And in the places where you are our greatest hope and our reminder that this is not it, we just get glimpses in these beautiful sacred moments of the beautiful life with you that's still to come. We give you thanks for that hope. And so, God, would you be honored in this place? Would you touch every heart? And would you set our feet once again on the path to keep on keeping on this journey with you? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a Bible handy, if you will open it to Acts chapter 3. And we continue our series on our true identity, who we are in Christ. Today is, hello, my name is God's temple. So we're going to look at what that means in Acts 3. And then as you keep a finger there, also flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've got a couple verses there too. Acts 3 verses 1 through 10. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Would you pray with me? Living God, we turn to your word because our hearts long to hear from you. And we believe that you have given us this gift so that we might hear your voice spoken to us anew right here and right now. And so, Father, we ask that your Spirit would move freely in our lives in these moments, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you will help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do you go when you want to feel close to God? Sometimes we call those thin veil places, where that invisible veil, whatever it is that separates heaven and earth, feels just a little bit more transparent, even for just a moment. Those places that we just sense when we are there, we are standing on holy ground. Those places where it seems that God's voice can be heard more clearly and God's footsteps can be seen more obviously and God's heart can be felt more intimately. Where do you go when you need one of those thin veil moments in your life? When you need to just know that God is near. Sunday mornings right here are one of my thin veil places, especially when we're all gathered together, which in just a couple more weeks we'll be here, but next week we'll be out there. Something about all of us being together, raising our voices to the living God. I cannot be in this space and not just know that He is right here. Another one of my thin veil places is on top of mountains. You know this about me. There's just something about being on top of the highest thing around and looking out over everything else, and you just feel like heaven is literally right there, and you look out and you see God's majesty, and those big old trees that we look at from down here, they're just like toothpicks up above, and you can't help but just know that God is powerful and He is beautiful, and if He can do all this, then there's nothing He can't do. Mountaintops are thin veil places for me. Where do you go when you need to encounter the living God? In our story today, we meet a beggar who's not really even looking for a thin veil moment, but one finds him nonetheless. Says that he was lame from birth. And so he was brought by some friends daily to sit before this gate called Beautiful, the temple gate. And he would come right at the hour of afternoon prayers to beg for some help. He, on his own, couldn't get into that place where God's presence was assumed to dwell. He wasn't qualified or even able to step through those gates to be in that place. But he could at least hope that maybe someone coming or going from that place where God hung out would be moved enough by this encounter with the living God to see him and to care for him. Do people still expect people coming and going from worship to be any different? I mean, why aren't all of the hurt, broken, lame people of Belfair sitting outside our church doors every Sunday morning just knowing that the people that leave this place are going to have to be different because they just hung out with the living God? Why are they not always right here? What's changed? Or when we go to work on Monday mornings, do our colleagues expect us to engage with them differently because they have a hunch that we worshiped on Sunday? Or have things just so changed? Why have they changed? Just something that I ponder when I read this story, but perhaps that's another sermon altogether. You can just ponder it with me. But Peter and John, they approach the temple gates at 3 p.m. Does that hour sound familiar to anyone? It's the hour that Jesus took his last breath. Do you remember that on the cross? 3 p.m., he laid his life down so we might be forgiven and live. Even before Jesus, 3 p.m. was the hour of the evening sacrifices in the temple when the people would atone for their sins and be forgiven for generations and generations. 3 p.m. is the hour that God moves on this earth in great mercy and compassion. 3 p.m., it's a thin veil moment. The hour of God's mercy. He's about to do the same thing again. And then this gate that this beggar sits at. In all of Scripture, gates are thin veil places. Jacob has that dream in Genesis 28. Do you remember it? And he sees these angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And when he awakens, he says, "Behold, this is the house of God. And this right here is the gate of heaven." A thin veil place, that gate. In John 10, when Jesus is talking about the good shepherd, remember what he says about how the shepherd comes early in the morning and finds his sheep in the pen, and the gatekeeper opens it up. It's the gate that allows the sheep to be with their shepherd. It's their meeting place. The gate, it's a thin veil place. In Revelation, it says the gates of heaven are never, ever closed. They're open day in and day out so that whoever wants to be with the living God can come in. Gates, they're thin veil places in Scripture. They always are standing between these two worlds, these two realities, and it just takes a few steps to leave one and to enter into another. But in Acts 3, the beggar is stuck on the other side of the gate. The side that's separate from the temple, the separate from God's presence. He's only a step away, but it's a step that for his whole life up till now, he has been unable to make on his own. And then there's the temple. The thinnest veil place of all the places. Because you see, God had promised that his presence would dwell in his temple in a very special way. And especially in that inner part of the temple, that place called the Holy of Holies that once held the tabernacle. And on that tabernacle was the mercy seat. And on that mercy seat was the very place that the living God chose to hover, chose to dwell, chose to let his presence rest in full. The Holy of Holies, and it was indeed holy, so holy that most people had to stay layers and layers away from this place where God hung out. Gentiles and women and eunuchs, they were in the way outer courts, far from the Holy of Holies. Men, Jewish men, could be a little bit closer, and priests could be a little bit closer. But still, there was still this 3-inch thick curtain. With your finger, make 3 inches. It's a lot. A 3-inch thick curtain that separated even the priest from the Holy of Holies, from God's full dwelling place. It was quite the opposite of a thin veil. But once a year, the high priest got to enter the Holy of Holies to lift up prayers and repentance for all the people of Israel in the direct presence of the living God. Can you imagine being the high priest? Can you imagine what he must have felt on that holy day going into God's presence? And what they would do before he'd go in, I told you this not that long ago, but in case you forgot, they would tie a rope around his ankle. And then he would go into the Holy of Holies. And if it took too long and they feared that the high priest died in the presence of the Holy God, they would pull the rope out. And so that none that wasn't supposed to be there dared to enter into that most holy place. You see, God's presence was totally set apart. It was too great for us. And on this day, Peter and John are on their way to the temple to be near to God's presence, not to be fully immersed in it, because hardly anyone could do that, but to at least be near it. And this beggar, he's as close as he's ever going to get, layers and gates away from it. But things have changed. Remember, this is Acts 3. And just a chapter before, in Acts 2, Peter and John received the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost day when the Spirit came down in power and filled God's people. And so the presence of God that dwelt in the Holy of Holies up until now was released. And now it lived in them. The fullness of God for the first time in history was not in a room on a fancy seat somewhere, but it was in his people, wherever they were in the world, even while they were standing on the other side of the gate. In the real world, there God's presence was wherever his people hung out. Sir, could I get maybe a few coins if you've got some extras? You see, the beggar doesn't know what's changed yet. He's sitting here and he's asking for some sandwich money. And in the presence of two men who are filled with the full presence of Jesus, the very one who fed 5,000 from just a few loaves of bread. He's asking for just enough to cover maybe one night's stay in the hostel downtown. In the presence of some people who have the full presence of the God in them who says, I have come to make my home with you. He's asking for just enough coins to maybe add to his fund for some new crutches one day. In the presence of these guys who have within them the full presence of the Jesus who not only saw a lame man get up and walk, but saw dead men come out of graves and dance their way into new life. They didn't know, he didn't know, they didn't know yet that all that used to only happen in that temple space now could happen wherever the people of God show up, because that God in the Holy of Holies is now the God who is in his people. Silver and gold we have not, but what we have we give to you. And just like Jesus had done with so many before, Peter takes this man by the hand and he raises him up and he tells him to walk. And before he knows it, his walking has turned to dancing, and into the temple courts they go, right through that gate that he had never gone through before, right into that place that people go to for thin veil moments. But on this day, they had already had theirs. Heaven had already met earth even before church started. And we learn on this day that the people of Jesus carry the presence of Jesus in them everywhere they go. And with that presence, they carry the power and the love and the possibilities of Jesus everywhere they go. Did you get that? Paul gets it. In 1 Corinthians, he says, don't you know that you're God's temple? And so God's Spirit dwells in you. You see, no longer do we go to that thin veil space. We are that thin veil space. No longer do we go to find where God hangs out so we can try to get some more of him. We are where God hangs out. Did you get that? We are God's temple. We are God's dwelling place right here, right now, in us. That's who you are. You could say it out loud. Hello, my name is God's temple. Got to get our hearts around that. It's huge. And that means that we can walk up to others and say, draw near to me. And I can guarantee you, the closer you get to me, the closer you'll be getting to him, because we are letting ourselves be his living temples. Wow. The holy smokes kind of reality. That's how it's supposed to be. Us, God's temple. Do we get the implications of that? There's several. I mean, if we are God's temple right here and right now, then first and foremost, I want to take care of it, right? I mean, you know how when you get that phone call unexpectedly and it's guests from out of town who say, hey, we're just passing through and we'd love to come up and see you. Is that okay? And all of a sudden, total panic takes over. And you're like, yeah, that'd be great. Click. And then you immediately start trying to throw dishes in the dishwasher and close all the doors to the messy bedrooms and just hope and pray that they don't have to use the bathroom. You know those moments, right? You want them to feel honored and you want them to feel comfortable and you want them to feel cared for and we're just not ready yet. But sometimes we know they're coming. They bought their tickets months ago. We know they're on their way. And what do we do in those times? But spend days before washing the sheets and cleaning all the little nooks and crannies and stocking the fridge with all their favorite things. So they'll know that we were ready for them. We want them to come and to feel at home and to know that we are so glad that they're here. You know, I feel like sometimes we kind of treat our bodies, God's temple, like we treat the unexpected guest. We expect God to show up on Sundays or on those mountaintop moments. And so then we kind of clean up and put our best mask on our best behavior. But we kind of get carried away the other days of the week, just in the chaos of the rest of our lives, and don't really think that much about his presence or what it means for us to live in it. And we kind of have this idea that, you know, if God needs a place to just kind of crash this week, hopefully he will go elsewhere. Because my own situation, Mondays through Saturdays, is not quite conducive to a holy God. But you know, God has told us that he wants a place to stay every day. There are no surprise knocks on the door from our God. He's already told us he's here right now at our hearts, wanting to come in and to make his home with us. We can't be perfect, nor does he expect us to be. But we can at least desire to make our bodies these temples, places where the living God sees that he is respected, and places where he might actually want to come and get to live, places that look like his kind of place to dwell. And so that has to mean that what we take into our bodies, if they are his temple, whether it be through our mouths or through our eyes or through our thoughts, it has to be things that we have to ask, you know, would we take this into our bodies if we could visibly see Jesus sitting right here with us, next to us? It's God's temple. And Jesus is right here, not just with us, in us. Are we feeding him good stuff, stuff of life? Because Jesus is a Jesus of life. And you see, temples aren't just pretty places that sit dormant, but they are active, busy places. Temples are places where prayers go up 24/7 and where sacrifices are made and worship services are held and meals are served and the poor are cared for. And temples house all kinds of sacred work around the clock. And so to do that, they've got to stay clean and they've got to stay organized and they've got to stay functional. And if our bodies are indeed God's temple, which they are, then it's actually a spiritual practice to choose healthy lifestyles. To be a people who move our bodies and eat well and rest well. That is worship. Because we're taking care of the place where God wants to make his home and work through us. Take care of this body. It's the home of your God. And he's got lots that he wants to do in and through us. And so it's faithful to be as healthy as we can be so that we are ready for whatever he's got on his heart to do today. What would you do in your home today if you knew that Jesus was coming to visit this afternoon? You see, he's knocking on the door of your heart right now, wanting to make his home in you. What will you do right now to honor him, to welcome him in, to be a living temple in which he would love to dwell? And if we're God's temples, this is the best part. That means the Holy of Holies is actually in us. And not just once a year. And not just when we're feeling extra spiritual. The full presence of God is in us right now. We have direct access to the living God like that high priest did sometimes. All of us, all the time. Do we recognize what a big deal this is? We are God's dwelling place. We are invited into the most intimate places that God dwells. We're invited behind the scenes to get a look into God's most sacred work. Who gets that kind of access to the living God? Have any of you guys ever been inside the Oval Office? Even if you pay good money for a tour of the White House, the Oval Office isn't included in that. You've got to know someone who knows someone to step inside that office. But do you remember this picture of John Kennedy Jr.? You remember this picture? It's a toddler hanging out in the office of his dad, take your kid to work day, I guess. There he is hanging out in the Oval Office as President John F. Kennedy is signing some kind of probably important paperwork. What is a toddler doing in this most prestigious, most secretive, powerful of rooms? He's there because his daddy works there. He gets to hang out where his daddy works out. I mean, they share a home together. The office is only an extension of that. We are God's temple. We have access to our Father like that. That kind of access, right where our Father does his very best work. We can get in on it too. Right where our Father shows his deepest love, we can receive it too. You see, the Holy of Holies is no longer kept from us by a 3-inch curtain. It is now in us. Our very lives are thin veil places because we are at home with our God. His temple, his dwelling place is in us. And if that's so, then we can invite others into God's presence too. You see, little John, if he was a little bit older, he could have brought some of his friends over to play. And they'd be playing in the White House in the presence of the president just the same. And there they would be in that place because they were invited in by the kid of the president. His access could have given them access. God's temple, that's you. You know what that means? That means you're the insider. You're the insider to the most beautiful, most powerful, most loving presence there is, the presence of God himself. Who have you given access to join you there as of late? You're the insider. Who have you invited over to come and play in your dad's house? Peter and John are heading to worship. And they meet this beggar and they say, "What's in us, we give to you." And church happens right there at the gate. They don't need to go to the temple for their miracle. They carried the temple, the presence of the living, healing God in them and with them. They brought this lame man into the Holy of Holies once they realized their bodies carried all of God's Spirit in them. And carrying it, they could share it. They could take another by the hand and invite him to get up and come into the presence of God too. We are God's temple. Where we show up, the fullness of God shows up too. We have access to the Holy of Holies, and not just us, but whoever we invite in to God's temple. That's me and that's you. Who are you taking by the hand and inviting in? You're the insider. Got access. They could have it too. We just take them by the hand. You see, the world is jam-packed with folks who are sitting just outside the gate, wondering if there's a way to know the God that you know. And we don't have to wait until they find their way to the gate and show up at church. The good news is these new temples, they have feet. And these feet can move outside the gate. And they can bring God's presence to every nook and cranny of this world. Of course God's everywhere. Of course He is. But His living temples help the world see what is already true. Would you imagine a little something with me as we close this morning? Maybe close your eyes. Most of you are at home. And I know when you're at home, it's less awkward. When you're right here, you ignore me. But maybe you'll close your eyes this morning, because that always helps me imagine a little bit better. Imagine it's just a few hours later today, this afternoon. Jesus Himself walks into your home. What would He do there first? See Him moving in that place. What conversation would He make sure happens before He leaves? Who would He sit with long enough to make sure they know they're loved? Who would He forgive and encourage you to forgive? And before He left His home to go to somebody else's home, what would He ask you to make your home all about? Keep with it. Now it's Monday morning. Imagine you walk into work, and there He is again. Jesus at your office. What's He doing there? And who is He spending a little extra time with? And how's He going about His work? And how's He talking to your colleagues? And what's He talking to them about? Stay with Jesus in this place. It's now Monday evening. And imagine you're walking into Safeway to grab some groceries for dinner, and there He is again. You just can't get away from Him. Jesus is walking the aisles of Safeway. What's He doing? What's He saying? What's His demeanor? How's He treating the cashiers? Who is He noticing? What's He buying? And what's He not buying? And then you start the drive home. Not surprised anymore. You look over to your passenger seat, and lo and behold, there He is. Jesus is riding through town with you. What's He noticing as you drive those streets you drive over and over again? What's He celebrating in this little community? And what's He grieving? In which homes, as you drive by, is He asking you to slow down and to notice? And what is He saying His heart most longs for in this place? You can stop imagining now. Because what if it's true? What if it's true Jesus, in all his glory, in all his power, in all his love, showing up in your home, in your office, in our town. You are God's temple. And so it is true. He is showing up. He does. Your life can be that thin veil space where heaven and earth collide. That's what temples are, and that's what temples do. They bring heaven and earth together. Jesus shows up in all the places you do because Jesus shows up in you. This week, may we show the world who we really are. By showing them this Jesus who really does make his home in us, God's living temples. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, here's my heart, here's my life. Come and be at home in me, I pray. And as I walk into my home and in all the places in my community, awaken me to what it means to have your full presence alive in me. I have access to the Holy of Holies. Lord Jesus, help me not just set up a tent and camp out there myself, but help me open that thin veil and shout out to any who are sitting at the gate to come on, come on. You can be with my Father too. I'm not keeping him to myself. Oh, Jesus, help me be your beautiful temple that has gates wide open because my life is wide open. Living with you and bringing others to do the same. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.